Sorry about that, folks. It does. Certain foods are better off in the trash than on my body. Oh, who's timing me? Nobody. How am I doing? Nobody. What time are we? How much more time do I have about? I know I'm supposed to stop at 8:30.
You've got 20 minutes.
I've got 20 minutes, okay. So I want to talk more about, the rest of my talk will be what I'm like now, because I can get stuck in what I was like and what happened, and this disease can do that. So I follow a food plan, which includes a wide variety of foods that taste good to me. I write it in my daily planner. This column is my food for tomorrow. You can see nothing is lined through. I haven't eaten anything for tomorrow yet today. That is a good sign. But I have eaten everything today. I pack all my food with me when I go traveling. If there's something I can have when I get there, that's fine, but I bring a scale. I mean, I take care of things, and people are like, oh, I'm not going to do all that work. I'm like, okay, is it more work maintaining 437 pounds and being filled with self-hatred, or is it more work to do something like that? I won't do it. Instead of writing my food plan, what I do today, what I used to write down in an entire column of my daily planner was IWIWD. That was my code for I wish I were dead. Because those were my only two thoughts, food and I wish I were dead. I wasn't going to do anything about it, except that one time when I walked very rapidly. I was late for the train, and I walked right across the tracks as it was pulling into the station. And, you know, you can't stop a train on a dime. And the guy blew the horn, and I thought, oh, well, you know, I didn't want him to feel bad. Still my people-pleasing, overriding things. But I thought, oh, good, then I'll be with my son. I'll be done, you know. I can't tell you, even when I have a bad day now, sometimes I just want to be done. I'm so tired of it when I'm stressed out. And if I go back to compulsive overeating, I don't even want to think. I used to believe, oh, it's over. I'll never make it out again. You know, the drama. Chris, come on. You know, anybody can make it back out. But I'm not interested in checking it out just to see if I can do it. So I'm just staying abstinent right now. And I encourage everyone, if you stay abstinent right now, and then right now, it will add up to 11 years and 6 plus months that I have right now. It will. Just like you're all of a certain age. I don't think there's anyone here 11 years and 6 months old. I don't see anyone that young. But you have stayed alive by getting up every day and not dying. That's how your age has added up to whatever it is. So we just need to stay abstinent, and it will add up. Just watch it. And an abstinence that works for you. A food plan by itself, however, is not good enough. I need the spirituality of OA. I need my higher power, God, and the help of many other OA members. I need God so badly, and I do confuse constant contact with conscious contact, and sometimes I don't have either. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. I don't have constant or conscious contact with my higher power. Sometimes I have no clue what my higher power is thinking, what he got it in his head, why I had to have this disease. And then I think, oh yeah, he wanted my attention every day. He didn't want a plug-in-the-jug kind of person here where I could just say no to it and then never have to deal with it again. He wanted me to come to him every day. You know, it's the old story of the thorn in my side, God, please remove it. God, please, you know, three times asking, and he won't. Because it's weakness, not strength, that binds us to each other and somehow gives us the power to do what we cannot do alone. You've all heard that if you've been to meetings. Well, if I was so strong, I wouldn't need a 12-step program. But because I'm so weak, it encourages me to go to God. It doesn't force me. And I've got to watch my verbiage and my words, because I'm very particular about words. But I don't have to do anything. It's a choice. See, my mouth got me in a lot of trouble. Things that went into it, and the words that came out of it. But all of that was me. That was my choice. No one tied me down and shoved food down my throat, page 181 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, except he talks about alcohol. No one ever had to do that. Since I was an infant, no one has put food in my mouth but me. And no one has talked out of my mouth but me. I mean, it makes sense, we know that, but it's like, well, they made me, you know, or they're food pushers, or, you know, we got a holiday coming up, and I can't stand being around, because if I don't eat it, they're going to make me feel so bad. No one can make me feel bad. And if they do, or they try, I just remove myself from the situation, gently as possible. I know when God wants my attention, He puts weight on me. Or He allows me to have a craving, or He permits me to feel pain. He wants me to come to Him, to rely on Him. How do I know if my food plan is working? Well, it's actually part of our new abstinence definition that's not that old. If I'm eating to approach or maintain a healthy weight, then it's working. If it's nutritionally sound, we got to start from there. You know, because I could eat to approach or maintain a healthy weight and be doing like crazy stuff with food. I can't afford that. Sometimes my meal timing is not the best, but you see, by my personal definition, and everyone gets to make their own, we're the sole judge of our own definition. Even when you get to world service and the people sitting on the dais up there who are trustees for the world, the board of trustees, they have defined their own abstinence with the help of their higher power, maybe their sponsor. But it's we who would decide, because something that is a problem for me may be just totally fine with you. Why can't that guy eat peanut butter? I'm fine with peanut. That's a valid protein source. Okay, go for it, honey. You know? That's fine. To me, one serving of peanut butter, a serving size is one jar, because that's how it comes. I've had peanut butter hangovers. I've heard of someone who died of peanut butter. This man ran into the bathroom, locked himself in there, put so much peanut, you know, they thought they had all the peanut butter hidden. He got a jar, took his hand, and put so much down that he locked the door, they couldn't break it down because he was leaning against it, sitting on the floor. They couldn't get in there, and he put so much down his throat, he suffocated and died. When the firemen came, there was nothing they could do. He was gone. By the time they called someone, because they, you know, were trying to break down the door, and they hacked through the door, and there he was. I mean, people kill themselves over this. Okay, lighten up is our theme. I was thinking to myself, lighten up. Okay, I really need that, but I'm thinking they're choosing the wrong person. So you heard the foods and behaviors I gave up, but what did I really give up for the most part? Shortness of breath, sitting still. Now, remember, I just gave up seven things, five food types and two behaviors. But with that, almost all of this is generally gone. Sluggishness, the mental fog, holding the phone receiver up to my hairline so people wouldn't hear me chewing while I was talking to them on the phone. Frequent upper respiratory infections that were resistant to antibiotics. Peanut butter hangovers, having breasts that were larger than some women's breasts, stinking from my poor hygiene habits, my feet, and passing gas from the foul things I put in my body, taking off a shirt without unbuttoning it all the way. Like this dress shirt, if I were like that, I would just do the first or second button and then just pull it off like a pullover because I wasn't worth unbuttoning it all the way. I was just too lazy. I didn't deserve that. Hideous tooth decay. Being indifferent to people I said I loved, which is the opposite of love. It's not hatred, because hatred has an energy to it. Indifference is the wall. I think you know what I mean. Making mountains out of molehills, molehills out of mountains, eating food off the ground, out of the garbage, off other people's plates, eating spoiled food, the agony of not being able to fit in my clothes. All-you-can-eat pancake breakfasts with one piece of sausage. I wanted to kill them. Having to be the best or worst at something. Eating entire shrimp, including the tail, and people telling me, Chris, you're not supposed to eat all the way down to the tail. You don't eat the whole thing. I said, that's the best part, the crunchy, you know, whatever. Okay. Denying that I have a disease. I gave that up. Didn't work for me. Clothes wearing out on my inner thighs, pilling fabrics, stuff like that. To support what I had to say, I have the original Before You Take the First Compulsive Bite pamphlet, and I know there's going to be a session on that this weekend. And the very first statements on that is, abstinence from compulsive overeating is the most important thing in your life without exception. Exclamation point. And rarely do they use declamatory statements like that. And it says, you may think other things come first, but if you do not abstain from compulsive overeating, you may destroy your chances of happiness. Blah, blah, blah. That's still not strong enough wording. Okay, destroy, yes, it means to kill, to get rid of, whatever, you know. To me, it's annihilate. You know, we're talking like the Twin Towers, you know. That's one of the things that brought me to OA in September 2001. I saw those buildings going down, and I thought, we're in the final days. I got to do something here, you know. This is not working. But it took me still 2 more months to even come to a meeting. What else did I really give up? Painful stuffed feelings, the feeling of being poisoned, ill, and sweaty most of the time. Tying my... Okay, I know it's probably warm in here. I'm just bringing that to the hotel liaison's attention. Because if I'm comfortable, I know it's warm. And I didn't know that because I'm always cold. If someone were to touch my hand now, my hand is cool. That's one of the things. Try taking off a 250-pound coat after wearing it for a decade. And then see if your body adjusts the temperature. I mean, I was sweating all the time. Is anyone else warm in here? Kind of warm? Just something. Is anyone else cold? We don't want to. There's like 3 people who are cold, so maybe we want to leave it as it is and let our higher power do it. Anyways.
Thank you, higher power.
Yeah, thanks. I used to tie my shoes on the inner side of my ankle because I couldn't reach any other part of my shoe. That's the only way I could do it. I used to feel constant self-hate, shame, and self-sabotage. I'm reminded that the acronym for shame is should have already mastered everything. Fleeting sensation of food that did not last, never feeling satisfied. In our For Today book, it says that of all the addictive substances, the hit I get from food is the shortest lived. I used to binge on water. Does that mean I need to abstain from it? No, that's not part of a definition of abstinence, anything that I've overeaten. It's just, if when I honestly want to, I can't quit. You know, after I've had a gallon or so of water, I can probably quit. You know, or we're going to have a problem in the bed at night. This is not going to work, you know. Or I'm going to be getting up and my wife's wondering, where am I going? Who am I seeing at 2 a.m.? You know? Gossiping. I gave that up. That went with those food items. I didn't know it was indelibly linked, but I always had to know everything that was going on, you know. Now, I don't want to know. And when 2 family members are talking, and they're talking like this, and all of a sudden it goes like this, yeah, what did you know? And it gets real hush-hush. I am out of there so fast because I don't want to know. It's none of my business. If I'm meant to know, we'll get it. If not, it's none of my business. I used to exaggerate and embellish my experiences so others would be interested in me. Why would I say I weighed 437 pounds or pass around pictures? There's so many people who don't believe those pictures are me, but I'm not putting all the weight back on so I can convince you that that's me. I'm not posing for those pictures again. It just would not work. A sticky steering wheel on the car. I can't remember the last time I had a sticky steering wheel on my car. I used to get food stains all over my clothes and on seat belts. Of course, I'm probably the only one. I suffered from rectal bleeding because I had hemorrhoids that, you know, generally don't act up. I can't remember the last time. But, you know, you put a lot of foul food and it converges down there. It's trying to get out, you know. That's not what our bodies are meant for. They're not filters of toxic substances. And for me, those were toxic. If those foods work for you, I say, go for it. Yes, you have them. It's your choice. To me, I needed to get honest with myself. Here are some things people have told me that really used to bother me. And because these don't bother me now, you know you're in recovery when someone says one of these. You're too thin, don't you think? you're going to gain it back, you know, because you lost it too fast, don't you think? Let's see if you can keep it off now, huh? I hear Chris, but I don't see Chris. Where's Chris? You finally got yourself under control, right? Do you eat? What do you eat? You don't look like you were ever fat. You better stop whatever you're doing. When I'd share with someone the fact that I have an eating disorder, I've already told you that, they're like, well, you don't have that problem anymore. Someone asked me, what do you got, skin hanging? For the record, yes, I do, because I've never had it removed. Were you ever able to stand at a urinal and, you know, for the record, yes, I was. I couldn't see what was going on there. It wasn't the best for my shoes or the floor of the bathroom. I'm not being graphic. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not going to dwell on it. But this is a hideous, horrifying disease. Are you in denial about your son's death and that's why you lost weight? At a wedding in 2008, years after I had become abstinent, someone asked me, did you eat anything at all? This is the mother of the groom, who's a relative. I said, yeah. I had a salad and I brought something to put on it, you know, some protein, a foil pack of tuna or whatever, you know. I speak in specifics. They didn't say I couldn't mention food items, so I'm not triggering a binge. If you're going to go out and overeat, that's up to you and your higher power. I am not that powerful, believe me. But they asked me that, and I remembered seeing that invitation in almost every other wedding invitation I've got, and it doesn't say we request the honor of your appetite at the wedding. They request the honor of my presence, and I was there. And believe me, if I was high on food and I was eating whatever they offered, it wasn't going to work. And they wouldn't want my presence, which is what the invitation was for, wasn't it? So what do I do now? What are the daily actions I take that support recovery? If someone could just give me 5 minutes so I know that I'm getting close. Are we close? I still got time. Okay. When in doubt, I don't. I got here today. I'm going to update this before I got here today. I have a 2002 Toyota Prius. And, you know, I drove pretty much in a straight shot. I stopped a few times. But I got here, and after I checked in, and I was going to move around to the door closest to my room, my car died, and it gave me a check engine. Well, a hybrid car is kind of like me. I'm a mixture of, you know, I run on this kind of fuel, and I also run on spiritual fuel. So I never thought of that as a program analogy, but that's what a Prius is. It gets different sources of energy. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's got a check engine. I'm here at 1 o'clock. I'm sorry, it says 1:15. What does that mean?
1 minute.
1 minute, okay. So, oh, well then I'll end with this story. And I can always say stuff later throughout the weekend. But it died when I pulled it out and it gave this check engine thing, like flashed. And I thought, this is not good. I am like 300 miles away from home. I thought, well, okay. Finally, I got it to start. I went over there. I started taking my stuff out, brought it all in the room, logged onto my computer. Where's the nearest Toyota dealer? I called them. What should I do? What could this be? The guy said, well, we can't see you today. We're totally booked up, and tomorrow we're booked up too. I said, well, I will try another dealer. Are there other dealers in the area? Yes. So I tried another one. Service, please. Sure. The guy, after I told him the problem, said, well, sometimes it's the gas cap that it's not totally on. I said, well, you know what? That could be it. I so appreciate that option because I just put gas in the car after I arrived in St. Louis. And I thought I heard it click and I thought it was done, but maybe it's not. And he goes, now, if you reset it, sir, it could take up to 10 or 11 trips of you starting and stopping the car before it actually resets, if that's the problem. If it continues and there's a problem with the operation, then what I would say is that you need to take it in. Otherwise, we couldn't see it before Tuesday. Well, I'm scheduled to leave here Sunday, so that's not a good fit. So what I did was I went out there, I took off the cap, and I put it back on and made sure to... Two times it took, and it cleared. but I took the action. I don't have time to go through all this stuff, but you know, I prepare things to say because some of this stuff I can't remember when I was back there, and people have called me on this. Do you even remember what it was like to be in the food? I need to share this stuff, otherwise I will repeat those actions to make myself remember. It's better to document it, use the tool of writing, and I know I'm out of time, so I'm going to end. I just thank you so much for asking me to do this service, and I appreciate your help. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Chris. And we hope that you're needing to go back on Sunday because you have exciting things to go to, not because we're running you out.
Absolutely.
Very grateful to have you here for the weekend. Your presence. Yes. We'll take a break now, and after the five-minute break, entertainment will start up. Looks like Cindy wants to...
I just want to say, you need to not leave, even if you're tired, even if you think you might want to leave. I'm just saying, you're going to be sorry if you're not here. So, okay.
And after entertainment, we will be having a drawing for a door prize. So.
Is it 8:45 or just 5 minutes?
5 minutes from now. Shall we make it 10?
Yeah.
10-minute break. We'll meet back at...